Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. It seems no matter where you live in the world, there are stories of unknown creatures stalking your woods and even your city streets. Welcome back to the swamps, my friend. It's good to see you. Glad you made it back for another episode. Today, these subscribers sent in their allegedly true experiences with unknown creatures, also known as cryptids. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cryptid story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. When all of this took place, I had recently moved from Ireland to the USA, specifically the North Carolina-Tennessee border, and I'll spare you a lot of the details because I'd be writing for days. And to protect my sister, her family, and home, I'll keep her location rather vague, but it's basically sitting on the woodland and forest expanse that continues on to the Cherokee National Park. I will try to keep to the most significant encounters and how everything played out, because it's hard to even know where to begin since so much has happened. I guess the first day I noticed things were weird was a few weeks after I arrived. I was pretty much settled into my new environment and in awe of everything around me. Ireland is pretty much a bubble compared to this. It was early July and it was so humid and there was no dead heat in the air. I was laying on the wooden swing chair on the back deck on my phone chatting to a friend and basically relaxing and enjoying the weather, kind of just melting in the heat and turning a lovely shade of pink. It was evening time and I hung up the phone and just lay there gathering my thoughts, getting the last few rays before going back inside. As I sat there, I began doodling on the back of my notepad when I heard bangs come from just inside the tree line, about a half a football field pitch distance away. It sounded like someone hitting a tree, like really hard, with the flat of a hurley or something harder. It was definitely some sort of wood-on-wood loud contact. They were louder than gunshots. I was startled and confused, so I scanned the area but I didn't see anything. Strange, I thought, and went back inside. There's someone out back, I told my sister. They may be cutting timber or something. She looked at me confused and said there shouldn't be anyone on or near the property, even in the woodland out back, especially not cutting timber. I explained that I had just experienced something weird and just heard what sounded like, you know, timber falling. We walked out back and across the yard into the fence line, but saw nobody, and after a bit of confusion and shrugged shoulders, we put it behind us. My sister Amy and her husband Jason, and my awesome little nephew Adam, who was 4 at the time, had only been living on the property a little over 3 months at this point, so everything was pretty new to all of us. The sounds, the smells, wildlife, everything was so different from Ireland, and I am a nature buff at heart. I love fishing, hunting, etc., but the lands and wildlife of the USA are very different from how Ireland is set up. Irish wildlife can't kill you unless you're really dumb or allergic to bees and get knocked down trying to outrun a sucker of a wasp. Anywho, I had not heard of wood knocks, but now I know what those are. I would hear them fairly often after this as well, and now that I did my research and understand what it is, I'm quite unnerved. Looking back, I don't know how or why I shrugged it off so easily. I guess the new environment had a huge part to do with it. I was so ignorant to the early signs of a Sasquatch in the area. Our home was pretty large and miles away from any other buildings or homes or any developments. We sat nestled in the middle of nowhere. As I said, our property was bordering the Cherokee National Park. Basically, nothing but wilderness is visible from our backyard, and to the front of the house was more woodland and meadows, I guess you could call them. They had small streams. It was nothing but forests and mountain views everywhere. It's so incredibly secluded. It's awesome. It is so beautiful at times it took my breath away. And knowing what I know now, I understand how these creatures go unseen for so long. My sister bought her property, and for what I know about it, it sat empty for around 6 months before she moved there. Okay, I may stop at the details or I'll be telling the story for a month. As the days and weeks passed, I heard whistles, endless wood knocks, movement in the forest, shaking of the trees, etc. It all baffled us, but we explained it away as people hunting or bears and all sorts of stuff cross our minds. Sometimes all of us together, feeling brave, investigated the surrounding woodlands, but found nothing, and I have to add we never felt in danger, but we were always cautious with Adam, and always kept a close eye on him. So, as I've said so far, we've heard all these strange sounds, and it has been going on for weeks. Strange movements in the forest, trees, etc. It all just keeps happening and getting more ramped up. My sister had said it had happened a few more times before I had arrived as well. She said that she was aware of it because she was always cautious with Adam because of the wildlife and vast open wilderness and forests they inhabit. So, other than making sure he was safe at all times, she didn't give it much thought, and as I've said, put it down to wildlife. That said, now it was becoming the family mystery and the basis of many sick jokes. We Irish have twisted minds and a strange humor, so getting dragged into the forest by bears or eaten alive by flesh-eating possums was the common joke to my poor sister, by myself and Jay. So halfway through August, the realness of what was happening finally landed, and I became aware of what was really in the forest surrounding our home. It was the weekend, and myself and Adam went on an adventure checking out the area, hunting for treasure, finding weird creatures, you know. It was just whatever you could do with a four-year-old. Everything is awesome and mind-blowing to them. We crossed the fence line and spent a couple of hours foraging for creatures and catching them in jars, watching birds, etc. Never really straying too far from our home, 'cause his little legs and all. We went far enough, and had stopped for a little bit and sat on a long dead tree trunk that lay in a small open area with the woodland, and after my phone rang and a chat with my sister, it was time to head back, as it was barbecue time. When I got off the phone, Adam was laughing and staring off to the distance, making faces. I had been sitting beside him on the log and stood up after the phone rang to get it out of my pocket, and was moving and walking and kicking the dirt as you do on the phone. And as I said, he was giggling and pulling faces, looking ahead of us and just beyond the area we were sitting. I asked him curiously, "What are you laughing at, buddy? What are you doing?" And his reply sent literal shivers down my spine. "Copying the boy," he laughed. "He's really funny." "What boy?" I said while I bent down and lugged Adam up into my arms. He's pretty small for four, and my protective instinct kicked in as 100 thoughts crossed my mind. He pointed to an area with large trees and a bush that looked impenetrable about 15 feet from us. "He has a funny face and is doing it like this," he said, while grinning fully. "Where is he?" I whispered, and I noticed how quiet the woods seemed, or maybe it was just my fear and shock, but everything just seemed quieter. I stepped towards the trees where he pointed, with Adam in my arms, and I swear, I heard what sounded like chimps making that unmistakable hoot of a monkey, only so much deeper, coming from my left into the woodland. I froze in place. It was like I knew not to move closer to the trees where Adam pointed. With my heart pounding, knowing something wasn't right, Everything felt wrong. I turned, gripping Adam tight, and started moving back towards my home. Adam was facing behind me as I held him. He shrieked with excitement and laughter and yelled, "There he is!" I turned before he had the words out, crossing where he had been sitting, moving away from where he had pointed, was a small, hairy human-looking boy. A little taller than Adam, but so much wider and covered in hair from head to toe. It wasn't a boy. It wasn't anything I'd ever seen. It stopped for a split second, looked at me, but another loud hoot that seemed closer than before snapped it away from looking at me and seemed to shock it into moving, I think. It lunged so fast in behind the trees towards where the sound was coming from that it was literally like a split second. I was frozen as Adam tried to wriggle out of my arms and I realized how heavy he was getting. A million thoughts crossed my mind. What the heck was that? It was not human. I flung Adam on my back and told him to hold tight and quickly covered the ground back to the fence line, feeling watched, hearing deep grunts and branches moving and snapping not far behind me. I ran the whole way within 15 minutes, give or take. I was back over the fence panting, heart pounding, senses in utter overdrive, and I put Adam down and told him to run to his mommy. I could see Jay, my sister, and two of their friends at the side of the house sitting on the bench next to the barbecue as Adam ran over. I turned to look back over the fence, scanning for movement or any sign of danger, and was overwhelmed with the feeling that I was being watched. I looked back at Adam, and he was already on the bench beside Amy. The image of the brown boy, as Adam called him, ran back through my mind as I tried to make sense of it. He, well, I'm fairly sure it was a he, was chestnut in color, around 3.5 feet tall, because it was definitely a bit taller than Adam, and he's pretty small for 4. It had hair about 3 inches long, and all over its body, but its face was free of hair. Its skin on the face was brown, but a bit different shade, like basically a tan, but it looked like leather, I guess. Deep eye sockets with very dark, almost black eyes, very much like an ape with a large eyebrow ridge. Its arms were abnormally long, and its body frame for something so small looked so odd. It was so wide, but somehow looked lanky too, because of its arms. But it looked powerful as well. Or like it was going to be powerful. The only way I can explain it is like, you know, when you see a foal from a horse, you can tell by its proportions and body shape, leg length, etc., that it's going to be a big animal, even when it's so small. The same way you can tell a thoroughbred filly is going to be a lot taller than, let's say, a cob filly, just by its body shape and form, and so on. That's the impression I got. It was like this thing is going to be huge just by its proportions and muscular development. I knew it was young. It was just a little bit younger than him, I think. Its head was so wide and oddly shaped, and its mouth looked huge. I understand now why Adam grinned so wide with all his teeth showing for its size. It was definitely in good shape being so small, but not much hair on the chest, but some hair there definitely. The only place completely without hair was the face, as far as I could see. Its legs were thick, and even though it was covered in hair, I could see muscular development. The legs were strong but short. Looking for his body, the arms were definitely longer than the legs. I don't remember if the hands or feet had hair. I was so glued to the face and the eyes, I literally froze when we made eye contact. And when it lunged away, out of sight, I was just frozen in place for a couple of seconds, in pure shock. Then it hit me, if that was a young one of these things were adults, and they were definitely much bigger than that, which made my heart skip a beat, and I realized the sound, the hoot I heard, was probably the parent. I could still feel the adrenaline rushing through my body, and realized my hands were shaking, and then another realization hit. Bigfoot. I just saw a bloody little Bigfoot. What the actual heck? A baby Bigfoot was making faces at my nephew. All these thoughts were rushing through my mind when I heard movement to my right in the woods. I looked over the fence in the area and watched and listened, and then I heard more tree knocks from deep into the woods. It was definitely a lot further away than I and Adam were, and I turned and jogged straight towards my sister, grabbed her and pulled her aside and told her everything. After a lot of convincing, she believed I saw something, and believed that Adam saw something, but she insisted that it wasn't what I thought it was, so I stopped trying to convince her. Jay believed me, though, and had many experiences himself up to that point. Still, he had no sightings, just sounds in the woods that he had kept to himself in fear of sounding crazy, because my sister knew he believed in crazy things like aliens, the Illuminati, and he was just a total conspiracy buff. Neither of us could convince anyone of what we saw. What it did do made us all a little more tenser and more cautious while we were out, especially when we were in the yard with Adam. Countless times I asked Adam to explain what he saw, and he told me when my phone rang is when he first saw the boy smiling. It really was playing and making faces at him like he believed, and was peeking out every moment or two while I was on the phone. It was just making Adam laugh. From the whole encounter, and from what I saw, I began to even question my own memory of the events and deny to myself what I saw and tried to rationalize it over and over in my head, but I couldn't forget its face, its eyes, the sound and hoot in the woods. I couldn't explain it away, other than Bigfoot, no matter how hard I tried. It was the only thing that made sense. So these things definitely exist, and why are we not told about this? None of it made sense, and I found it so hard to even say the word Bigfoot when I and Jay would talk. It made me feel like I was losing it. Some backstory. This was 2 days ago. My family owns about 80 acres of land, and we lease it to my grandfather for his cattle, since he has so many. He has about 3 farms that he owns personally, but he needed more space to put his other 20 head of cattle. Now, I'm getting to my story. My grandfather called me at around 8:56 at night, saying that he had lost track of one of the newborn calves and he needed my help. We meet at the old bunkhouse on our property. He said we should split up and search the land, and we took off with our 4-wheelers. I drove around the upper, more forested area of the place. I came around, and the sun had finally set. It was dark now, so I turned on my lights and drove through the trees. I kept searching for the calf, but I couldn't find it. I stopped my 4-wheeler, and it was quiet. I pulled out my flashlight and decided to look on foot for a minute. I walked a little bit away from my 4x4, and I heard some light rustling. It was so quiet that I didn't know if I actually heard it or not. I slowly turned my head in the direction and slowly shined my light there, and there it was, the calf. But it was in the lap of, well, something. I can only describe what it looked like because I have no words to name this thing. It was sitting there with the calf in its lap. It had one hand on its back and one in its stomach. Its eyes were huge and it had no pupils. Its head was a skeleton shape, but it was like wrapped in tight skin. You could see the skull inside of its head. Its nose was 2 holes below where they should be. It looked like it didn't even have a mouth, just smooth skin. But there was blood covering the spot where a mouth should have been. We sat there staring at each other for at least 5 minutes. Then, that's when it started opening its mouth, slowly, and its head rolled back. It opened its mouth wide and bent down to its neck. Its teeth were filed and they all curved back towards the throat. It didn't have a tongue, and you could see down its throat. It didn't scream or yell or anything really. It just quietly kind of screeched, and then slowly came back to the state that it was before. I forgot to mention that it was as tall as me sitting. It pulled its hand out of the calf and started standing slowly. I forgot to mention its hands weren't exactly big, but they were long. Its fingers didn't have fingernails, but instead the fingers were sharp points. When it finally stood all the way up, it was an estimated 10 feet tall, and I was about a solid 6 foot. It took a step forward, and I finally snapped out of it. I turned and sprinted to the 4x4. As I ran, I looked back, and it was following me, but it seemed like it was saying something to me, like it wanted me to stop. And as I thought that, it took two strides and it was only 5 feet away from me. I hopped on the 4x4 and was trying to get it to start. I looked back and it was looking down at me. Its sharp claws were coming towards me slowly, as if it were trying to console me while I grieved at a funeral. I started it and took off, and while I was driving over the roar of the engine, I heard quick footsteps behind me. I left the tree line and I rode down the hill and stopped and looked up. It was there looking at me, still the same abstract look on its face. It just walked back into the woods. The day after I came back to that spot I saw it the day before, there was a trail of blood that led to a field in the back of the property, and all that was left of the calf was some bones with a little meat in the pile. Right next to it was its skin. I was going to bury it, but I had forgotten to bring a shovel. I left it and went to get one, but when I came back, the pelt was hanging from the wall in the bunkhouse. I looked upon the hill, and it was watching me. Last night, when it was really quiet, and I was close to being asleep, I heard some twigs snapping outside my house. I looked out the window from the blinds and I saw a pair of white eyes staring back at me. So I told my story of what I thought was a dogman encounter on this channel a while back. Well, in that video, I stated that I had many weird and crazy stories. Since you graciously shared the last one, I thought why not share another scary encounter I had. As I said in the last video, I lived in Maryland, but before you think of blue crabs and beaches, I'm in a more rural area of the state. My uncle and aunt own a condo, however, at a popular beach cut Ocean City. In late May of 2018, I decided to take my friend Omar to the condo since no one was using it, and I got permission to take the keys and go. It's about a 3-hour drive from my home to Ocean City, and since I was a newer, good driver and recently got my provisional license, I decided to drive up for a vacation with my best friend. I own an old, black 1970 Chevy Nova, but it is fast as a roadrunner and very reliable. I, extremely hyping up with my new car, decided to purchase a roll cage, which would come into play later in the story. I was told it was stupid and costly, but my family eventually admitted how badass my car looked. Plus, very safe. So on May 28th, I drove my Nova to Omar's house about 5 miles away from mine, and we set off. Depending on which way you go to Ocean City, much of the drive is through farmland and small towns near the Potomac River. We were about 2 hours into the drive, and since it was still midday, we were not pressed for time, seeming how we would be there for about 2 weeks. As Omar snacked on chips loudly, he asked if we could shuffle some music on his phone. My phone was charging on a portable charger in my hoodie pocket, and the speaker was rolling at my feet. Since it was a vintage car, I didn't remove the old speakers or anything. Just the stuff I needed since, you know, I needed to fit in the roll cage. I said of course because I and Omar share the same taste in rap music. I picked up the speaker and he connected it via Bluetooth with his phone. Now, since I had a loud engine in the car, the speaker was equally loud to balance out the noise. Omar, of course, blasted the speaker to its max, but I wasn't complaining because the song went hard. While I was too busy rapping to the loud lyrics, I failed to notice the deer standing in the center of the street. Omar yelled for me to swerve, which I did, but as my rear bumper clipped the deer, my car flipped into the air, doing a full corkscrew and landed, sliding on its hood for 12 feet or so. We hung there by our seatbelts in shock, not fully comprehending the insanity of what just unfolded. I had busted my nose and scratched my face pretty bad, and Omar banged his forehead on the dash, but besides that, I'm pretty sure we were all ultimately fine. I looked over at Omar as he looked at me, and we just laughed. Partly because we lived, and mostly because we were in the weird state of nervous shock. It took a minute to compose ourselves, and still strapped in hanging upside down, we began to realize that a damn deer had flipped my car. We somehow got out of my door, crawling painfully through the window, which was shattered all to hell. As Omar stepped out, he met my gaze. I was looking at the same deer standing looking at us as if we had broken a twig. Omar's jaw dropped, as did mine. "Maybe it's some metal statue some guy left out as a prank or something," Omar said. But as he did, the deer blinked. Thoroughly freaked out, we started back towards the car, making sure not to break eye contact with the thing. As my thigh bumped into the car, the deer stood up on its back legs and let out a scream that made my head hurt. Omar and I began to run, but knowing we had nowhere to run, we stumbled to the front of my car. But the thing was gone. Out of nowhere, it seemingly just vanished. Our hearts pounding, we tried in vain to flip my precious car. Thankfully, the roll cage I'd invested in not only saved our lives, but most of my car as well. Since flipping it wouldn't work, Omar had a great idea. Call Marco. Our friend Leo's uncle had a towing service, also working in insurance. Remembering the pain that it took to get a company to insure a teen driver like me, I quickly dialed Mr. Romani. He picked up instantly and greeted me like a brother. I shared him our situation and where the last gas station I saw was, leaving out the detail of a deer creature and replacing it with a hit-and-run driver. His employees were all off, but he told me he could drive us and pick up the car. He took us to the beach and took the car back. I quickly thanked him and asked him to hurry, thinking the beast might still be close. He hung up and we sat back to back on the side of the road. We waited, and it felt like we waited for a very long time. But it only luckily took him about an hour to get to us, because he lived closer to Ocean City than we did. He flipped the car using his truck and tools, and then loaded it on his truck. We hopped in and thanked him. He told me and Omar the car would be fine in his hands, and if we saw the car on the road that flipped us, to point it out. I and Omar glanced at one another and I said I would. The rest of the trip was uneventful. We spent our 2 weeks on the beach and boardwalk, and on our second to last day I got a call from Marco saying all was in order and the car was ready to be dropped off at the condo tomorrow. I told Omar the news and we all breathed a sigh of relief. As the amazing person he was, the work it took to repair my car was cost-free. I thanked him and we hung up. On the drive back, I made sure to take a different route home, while Omar looked up possible explanations of what could have happened. We were so caught up in the joys of vacation that we had barely mentioned it to each other. He found stories of things called skimwalkers, which would manifest and take the shape of creatures. I drove by a car much more carefully on the way back, and got us home safely. Although for about 2 weeks after that, there was always a tapping noise in my window. I could have sworn that I heard a voice that sounded like a bad imitation of Omar's voice, whispering as a lure to get me outside. I knew whatever was outside was not my best friend. I've never really shared this story before, besides my family members and some of my friends, but I wanted to share this with all of you, in case some of y'all are going through or have gone through this situation. My family bought some land and built a home in a small town about 1 hour outside of San Antonio, Texas. It was a beautiful property, roughly about 50 acres. It had a pond and an abundance of wildlife and animals. Deer, hogs, mountain lions, foxes, coyotes, rabbits, fish, and other little creatures. Then we started to notice that there were some bigger animals, or I don't know how to call them, but more in the lines like a Bigfoot or maybe even a skimwalker. I used to walk my little brother and sister down the private road we had to the country road where the school bus would pick them up. Well, we started noticing these giant footprints. I am 6 foot tall, and I wear size 13. And these footprints were way bigger. And the strange thing is, these footprints were all three-toed, not five-toed, with a big heel as well. When the fences were knocked down, we started finding dead deer around the property, their lifeless bodies twisted up and torn. And I've seen dead deer before when coyotes or mountain lions get to them. But this was just different. It's like their bodies were torn by ripping their skin and bones apart by giant, powerful hands, and their necks were completely twisted like a Twizzler. Then, a few days after that incident, my sister and the school bus driver told me something that made my hair stand up. That morning, when they were driving to school, they saw what looked like a Bigfoot running and jumping over a fence. The bus driver speeds up to make sure whatever the creature was wouldn't harm the bus, the kids, and himself. Then the next day, when I was walking back to my house after walking my brother and sister down the road, I saw something near my house. You have to understand, this was like 6:30 in the morning. The sun is barely rising, but I saw something behind the tree, some 300 feet from my house. At first, I thought it was a ray of light from the sun that was making the shadows bigger than usual, but it moved. It moved more behind the tree, like it knew I noticed it there. I used to play baseball in high school and some leagues, so I have a good throwing arm. I picked up a good throwing rock. I walked about 50 feet or so closer and chugged that rock towards the tree, and sure enough, I hit the giant oak tree and the shadow sprinted from the tree across the clearing into the woods. This thing was huge, like 8 feet tall. It could have even been bigger. It made some grunting sounds while it ran. I ran inside the house after it went into the woods. I locked the doors and looked out my back windows, hoping to see it again. When my parents and siblings returned later that day, I told them what I had seen. My parents, of course, did not believe me. Then my sister told them what she saw the day before. Then they blamed me for putting thoughts into their heads and making them see things that aren't true or exist. That would change 2 days later when my mother was washing the dishes. She saw outside the kitchen window our neighbor's young calves running and a tall, dark figure chasing them. She yelled, and we came out of our rooms, and she was frantically saying she saw it. I called my neighbor and I drove over there, and he meets me with the cattle guard. He hopped into the truck and found his cattle and calves, shaken from whatever happened to them. We saw blood on one of the calves. A big chunk of meat was torn from it, like pulled off by a giant hand. We saw plenty of giant three-toed footprints. Then, as quickly as these events happened, they just stopped. We moved 2 years later back to San Antonio, and it has been over 20 years since those incidents happened. I hear from time to time my friends who still live out there, they have similar incidents, but they're kind of rare. So, if you've ever had a similar incident happen to you, I would love to hear them. You are not alone, for I have lived it, and I have seen it with my own two eyes. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true experiences with unknown creatures. I would love to know which story tonight was your favorite. Honestly, that last one was pretty freaky. A three-toed Bigfoot? I don't even know what I would do if I even remotely saw those footprints. I would probably just have to move, honestly. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button, as it really does help me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. You can download your favorite scary stories from the swamp on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you download podcasts. If you're not aware, me and my good friend Unit 522 recently released a song. We're working on a metal band right now, and it would be awesome if you would check that out. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. I would really appreciate that, and I would love to hear your feedback. Do you have a story that you would like to share in a future video? Have you experienced a cryptid creature or something of the paranormal? Would you like to share it on the show? Well, send it in at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I couldn't make these videos on a daily basis without you guys. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.